Well, we know that the conflict and war that continues is weighing in on what we see in the market trades, but we're also going to look at charts and some farmer selling as well this afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Brian Doherty joins us now with Total Farm Marketing. So let's first and foremost talk about what everybody's been talking about, and that's been this whole conflict and the war that is underway and how it's filtering back to affect our ag commodities.
Right. So uncertainty breeds volatility, which breeds opportunity. And in the grain markets, as we look ahead from today, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring with the war, but there's a theme that's beginning to, I think, evolve the last 48 hours, and that is there appears to be a fairly strong dominance of the way the direction of this war is heading. So I don't think the market concern is quite as high as it has been. The only market that's really reflected that is crude oil, up about $5 a barrel yesterday and $5 to $7 today as we speak, backing off to about $3 to $4 a barrel higher. So as we kind of look at the big picture, we look at things like money flow, and a war creates uncertainty, and the stock market has really been beat up the last couple of sessions. And part of that might be just money going to a safe haven, and that safe haven this time of year could be in the row crop commodities. There's a lot of uncertainty with producing the crops in the year ahead. Prices have been edging higher. We've seen old crop corn prices move back close to or at the same level as just prior to the January 12th report. And I'll remind everyone that report just had a really tough negative situation with increases in yield and in acres. So big picture, what happens here? Markets moved up, created some uncertainty, but it's created selling opportunities as well. And I think for corn, that's sort of the wet rag over the market right now. Soybeans, on the other hand, I think a little bit more attached to the crude oil market, with soybean oil racing into new contract highs. Yet there again, opportunities to sell some of this old crop, and really a nice opportunity to get started here with something on the new crop, some sort of defensive posture. We don't want to let this fall between our fingers. On the books, there's still plenty of carryout projected for the year ahead.
You know, Brian, you bring up a farmer selling, and, you know, last week you both of us were at Commodity Classic, and the amount of producers that I talked to that said, oh yeah, I still got old crop in the bin, kind of surprised me at this point in the game. So what kind of things are you thinking of when it comes to farmer selling and the old crop that's there?
Right. And I'll agree with the farmers. We talk to lots of farmers, and I'm talking to farmers every day about big picture perspective and trying to get their numbers and see where they're at. And it's just the way last year panned out. Farmers were looking for something a little better. They weren't being greedy. Prices were never really good. And they were looking for something better, and it just never came along. Now we're finally seeing prices move back to the levels that last year were about as good as they were. Now, let me put that in perspective. As I look at December corn futures, today's high is 474 and a quarter. That exceeded the 473 and a half in November, so it's our highest price since on June 20th. That particular contract hit 475 and a half. And then also 477 on June 9th. So multiple month high levels. But last year, Susan, the high on December corn futures was 478 and three quarters. That was the high for the calendar year. So if you're looking at December 225 to make decisions, that was as good as it got. So a lot of farmers started making some sales, but it just never got any better. That high came early in the year, and the market downtrend and the rest is history. So what does that mean? That just means farmers have a lot of bins full of corn that isn't priced. Cash flow needs are paramount. It's a tough economy in ag. Farmers are selling right along as they should be and rewarding both old and new crop rallies here. Time to get started on the new crop. People ask, well, why is that? And I say, well, we can compare to last year. But if we compare to a carryout at 2.1 billion bushels, and make some generalized assumptions, and those assumptions are normal crops until proven otherwise, it's highly likely that we could see this market tip over and by late summer be back toward $4 if I take, for instance, the price of $470, typically we might see a 15% decline. So if I take 85% of $470, that gives you a downside objective of $399. All of that makes sense and worth defending at this point.
Talk about some charts. What are you seeing? Hefty resistance points going on for the corn?
Yeah, so let's start with the old crop, and I'm using the May as the front month futures, even though March is still trading. That basically crossed over here recently when first noticed they had elevator bids based off of the May contract. So in May, you've got some pretty stout resistance around this 450 and then 453 area. Yesterday's high in May corn is 452.5. Today's high is 451.75. If we go back to January, the day prior to the January 12th report, which is January 9th, our high that day 455, closed that day 453.75. So that the market retraced all of the losses from the January 12th report. There's a lot of farmers with selling. So again, in this 450 or area, that's a little bit higher, start selling. I said 453. That's if I connect the upper, the rallies that occurred over the last year, connected those high dots, I get a nice downward slanting, what I call channel line. That's around 453. The market did happen to get a little push to it. 464.75 was the high from mid-November. So basically 465 areas where the next sale point would be. So that's old crop. On new crop, as I just kind of reviewed, this 470, 475 area, that's a starting point. There's pretty stiff resistance at last year's high of 478.75.
Anything else that we need to be kind of keeping an eye on, Brian, as we hit the rest of this trading week?
Well, for the rest of this week, obviously the war and then how the market responds today and finishes today. What I didn't really care for in soybeans yesterday was we had a pretty good outside day going, pretty big range, and then finished lower. That's a bearish key reversal on the chart. And as an example, the May bean contract in mid-January bottomed at 1051. Yesterday's high was 1185. So people are saying we should sell some beans. Yes, keep that pay rate, sell some beans. But heed that big bearish key reversal, oversold conditions. I'm going to talk technical, but the stochastics gave a crossover sell signal a couple of days ago. So there's a few things out there. I call it the handwriting on the wall. Don't dismiss it. Weather is important, but I just can't find enough weather out of the southern hemisphere to argue that, for at least this week, that there's a much of a weather event for soybeans. Now, big picture, corn, new crop beans, just keep in mind balanced approach. That means selling into rallies, buying puts on rallies, but also recognize that prices are still relatively low compared to history, in particular if there's any weather developments that might suggest that there's a shortfall of production that might happen. A little too early to put it on the radar, but it is creeping on the radar nonetheless, and that's the drought monitor map, so something to be watched as well.
All right. Brian Doherty joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's a Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.